Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 to 12. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes to meet Moses. And we have the record of their meeting and their conversation. This episode is probably out of order in this place in the book of Exodus, but we'll take it as it comes. What brought this meeting about? Exodus 18, 1 to 12. Well, there's natural ties, of course, between Jethro and Moses. It's father-in-law meeting son-in-law. Jethro has been looking after Moses' wife and sons. And at one level, we can speak of Jethro bringing his daughter and his grandsons back to their father Moses, to the husband and the father Moses. It's the return of the family after a long absence. But we read that it was the knowledge that God had so blessed the Hebrews, blessed Moses and the Hebrews, and brought his people out of Egypt, the Hebrews out of Egypt, and the wonderful deliverances. This moved Jethro to travel into the desert and meet Moses again. It's God's dealings with Moses and with Israel. It's the fame of God, not the fame of Moses, that moves Jethro to come. And the old man, it seems, is determined to observe it and find out and hear and see all about it for himself. And what follows in the record of their meeting is of a high standard, a high caliber. It's spiritual. It's spiritual conversation and action. What brings these two men together, Jethro and Moses? Yes, it is family. Yes, there's all that. But the real cause of their meeting and their business together is entirely spiritual. It's God. God and his dealings, God and his works, God and his power is the way the Lord has led. It's what the Lord has done. That's what occupies their time, not the family. It's God. And what attracts Jethro to Moses at this time is the news of God's dealings with Moses and Israel. The New Covenant has this idea too, you know. Titus 2:10, we make the doctrine of God attractive in our lives. We so live, brother and sister, that men and women ask us a reason for the hope that we have. Peter tells us that. Titus, Paul writing to Titus, talks about making the doctrine of God attractive in our lives. And we do it by our lives, and this is our witness. And Jethro hears of God's dealings with Moses and Israel, and he wants to come and find out. And then we have their meeting, verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. You see, the conversation, as I say, is at this high level. This is what God has been doing for us. This is the way he has led us. Oh, it's been difficult, but he has been with us in it. He's been with us in it all. We've needed water, and he's brought it for us. We've needed meat, and he's found it for us. We've needed bread, and he's given it to us. We faced impossible barriers, the Red Sea, but God has opened it for us. He has protected us by the cloud and the fire, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Pharaoh has come, but he's been destroyed. God has done all this. The Lord has led us. They talk of spiritual things, And Jethro responds, verse 9, delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them. And he bursts out in praise. Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued his people, the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Here is a Midian speaking, a priest of Midian. By these testimonies, by this evidence, by this witness, by this record, this man is brought to see the truth about God. Is there not a spiritual lesson here for us? Spiritual conversation. Is it not a wonderful thing? If you read Psalm 145, verses 4 to 12, this generation speaks to the rising generation about God and his dealings with us, one generation to another witnessing. Here we have it, Moses speaking to Jethro. The other way around, you might say, the younger speaking to the older, but a mutual conversation about spiritual things. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, Malachi 3:10. I remember in my own experience as a young believer going after a service one evening into the chapel house next door and hearing two old men, I'll say old men, yes, conversing about the things of the Spirit, Christ's dealings with them. As a young believer, this impressed me. I read of John Kershaw of Rochdale coming home as a lad, knee-high, I suppose, between his father and his father's brother, his uncle. And these two men conversing over what they'd heard in the discourse that morning, talking spiritually, and young John Kershaw soaking it in as a lad. What a lesson to us. What a blessing spiritual conversation is. What an effect on Jethro, delighted, rejoicing in God, clarifying his views, talking spiritually. And then they worshipped God together. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God, a spiritual, a corporate, even public, as well as private conversation and fellowship and worship of God in one another's company. How these lessons need to be applied to us today. When I think of the believers meeting together today, too often, oh, nearly every time, the conversations are about recipes or health or the lack of it, and our holidays and all that kind of nonsense. How little talk there is of spiritual things, of what God has done, what God has taught, how God has led. I see this episode with Jethro and Moses as a challenge to the flippant, light, weak, effeminate, so-called fellowship today. I remember when I was a student at university, and that now is nearly 60 years ago, being called on to give a discourse to the students in the Christian Union. We on the committee were concerned and disturbed, and we tried to address this. And one thing I said then, and it stuck with me for nearly 60 years now, fellowship does not come out of a Nescafe tin. Fellowship does not come from drinking coffee together and talking about holidays and health and sport and so on. I'm not saying a word against eating and drinking together. But the conversation must be at a higher level than recipes and health and social things. I see here Jethro and Moses meeting after such a long time with many things to discuss about the boys' upbringing and their health and the way things have gone. But I see what's recorded in Scripture, and I believe it to be a challenge to me and to you, brother and sister, an encouragement. When they met together, their conversation was of God and his work and his blessing upon his people. Indeed, that's what brought them together. May we see the like in our time. May we feel it and know it. May God move us to engage in spiritual conversation. You see, younger people are listening. Others are listening. Let them learn from our conversation of the ways of God and his person. John Kent wrote a hymn on it. Here's the first verse. When saint to saint in days of old, their sorrows, sins, and sufferings told, Jesus, the friend of sinners dear, their souls to bless, was present there. As members of his mystic, that means spiritual, frame, together met to bless his name, while humbly at his feet we bow, as God with us, he's present now. When two or three are met together, you know, the Lord is with them. That's not only in church meetings. That's around the kitchen table, in the lounge, on the conversation, on the walk. Whatever it might be, when two or three are met together, Jesus draws near. Let us learn then from this and engage more and more in spiritual conversation. And let us tell what the Lord has done for us, and listen to that, what the Lord has done for others. And let us mutually encourage each other and challenge each other. And may our conversation be a blessing to those who hear. For Christ's sake. Amen.